Let me tell you about realestateagentsitrust.com. If you are thinking about buying or selling a house, now is absolutely the time to do it. If you want to buy a house, you need a great real estate agent that knows the neighborhood, knows the schools, knows how much a house is worth. If you are selling your home, boy, oh boy, do you need a great real estate agent. Again, somebody who knows what it's worth and somebody that you can trust. Well, that's why we developed realestateagentsitrust.com. This came out of working with some of the best real estate agents from the Wall Street Journal. They publish like the 500 best real estate agents in the country. I started to get to know them, and I was like, you know, can I just hook you up with our listeners? Because they should know, you know, that there is a real difference in real estate agents. You want to sell your home on time for the most amount of money? Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Do it now. Realestateagentsitrust.com. They'll also help you buy a new house. And again, realestateagentsitrust.com.
Of entertainment and enlightenment.
Oh, Jesse.
Is the Glenn Beck program.
Oh, Jesse, you're so fine. You really blow my mind, or something like that. Oh, Jesse. Oh, Jesse. You know, I don't know if I'm more shocked at the fact that someone had the balls to do this, or the fact that media still has no idea how these things just happen. There's even an editorial today from the Washington Post where the individual says, I so want this to be true. You want this to be true? We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I want to talk to you a little bit about CarShield. I have I've made a new rule. I'm never buying a new car again. Never buying a new car again. Because why? Why buy a new car? When you drive it off the lot, it loses so much value. Let somebody else do that. Now, the problem with that is, do you have a warranty? When you buy a used car, it's like, oh, yeah, no, that, we'll warranty this for, 12 months, the dealership. Or it's as is. No, thank you. What happens if something goes wrong? What happens if the transmission goes wrong? I don't have $1,800, $2,000 to fix that.
If you can't trust a used car dealer,
yeah.
What has our country
what
come to?
What has happened?
Unbelievable. The one bastion of trust we thought we had left.
So anyway, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, if you have a car that has 5,000, 150,000 miles on it, doesn't matter. If you don't have warranty, you need one from carshield.com. They cover, you know, everything. Each warranty is different, but you're going to have to, you know, you'll just check it out. But when it is covered, your sensor that's $3,000, no, not anymore. It's actually free with CarShield. Get your car covered so you don't have any gotchas and any surprises, because those are the kinds of things that we just can't deal with. CarShield. Call 1-800-CAR-6100. That's 1-800-CAR-6100. Mention the promo code Beck or visit carshield.com and use the promo code Beck. You'll save 10%. It's carshield.com. That's carshield.com. So here it is. This is the way the media works now. They find a story that confirms their bias, confirms their narrative, and then they run it constantly, relentlessly. Then when the real story comes out, they minimize the exposure of the correction, and then they repeat. Look at the major stories that have broken recently that have been so very wrong, that have occupied so much of our time. Kavanaugh. Was that true? Nope. Turns out, nope. Then you had the Covington story. Was that true? Nope. Look at how they corrected both of those. Just barely. Just barely. And I say, well, in both of them, Would you even say barely, Stu? Because they were still saying they're guilty of something.
Yeah, I mean,
certainly haven't corrected the Kavanaugh thing. I mean,
no.
And they just say that it was. I mean, I think they would still say that one's true.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you remember the FBI stories that came out afterwards and what the FBI had uncovered? That it was bogus? That the people that were, you don't know for sure, mm-hmm. because, you know, we're still going off of people's memories, but it was her beach friends that kind of helped shape this story?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of these stories are stories that they would still hang on to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
So they're not really corrected. Mm-hmm. They're not really corrected. Let me give you the knee-jerk reactions that the media had on this Jussie Smollett hoax. This is from Insider Edition, CNN, E! News, Headline News, CNBC, TMZ, just to name a few. Listen.
Beaten with a noose around his neck and hospitalized. Empire star Jussie Smollett was the victim of a vicious, racist, and homophobic attack.
His attackers hurled racial and homophobic slurs.
Two people yelled racist and homophobic slurs.
Racial and homophobic slurs.
Not only homophobia, we're talking about racism. Oh, we're talking about hate with steroids.
They are looking for two suspects who were apparently wearing Make America Great Again hats.
The offenders uttered, "This is MAGA country."
The hate crime went down early this morning in Chicago.
Officials are investigating the alleged assault as a hate crime.
And now police say they're investigating this as a possible hate crime.
Anyone attacked in a hate crime like this is an outrage.
This is stomach-turning, mind-boggling mm-hmm. information. It's out of control.
It is out of control, isn't it? Isn't it out of control? Now, these are just the reactions on TV. It just as bad, if not worse in some cases, in print and online. I'll give you one example. You know the situation is bad when TMZ is connecting the dots and seeing through a guy's story. It's TMZ. Listen to this, quote, "The sources say there were red flags from the get-go. Cops were extremely suspicious when Jussie took them out to the area where they said he was attacked and pointed to an obscure camera saying how happy that the attack was on video. Well, it turns out the camera was pointing in the wrong direction. Cops thought it was weird he knew the location of that camera." And then there's this. "We're told investigators didn't believe the two alleged attackers screamed, 'This is MAGA country,' because not a single Trump supporter watches Empire," end quote. Now, I'm sure there is one somewhere, maybe, probably not. Here's the man himself in an interview just days after the alleged beating. I'm sorry, the alleged modern day lynching. Here he is in an interview with ABC News complaining about people making stuff up.
"That I had said that they were wearing MAGA hats. I never said that. I didn't need to add anything like that. They called me a They called me a There's no which way you cut it. I don't need some MAGA hat as the cherry on top of some racist sundae. I've heard that it was a date gone bad, which I so resent that narrative. I'm not gonna go out and get a tuna sandwich at a salad to meet somebody. That's ridiculous and it's offensive. Yes, there's Grindr, yes, there's Jacked, yes, there's all of these things, which I have not been on in years. I can admit that I was on that back in the day. I was single, you know what I'm saying? But I have not been on that in years. But aside from that, it's offensive. And I absolutely resent that narrative because it's bull.
It's bull. It's bull. And he knows bull, apparently. Now, he starts out. Play the first 10 seconds of that for me again, please.
"That I had said that they were wearing MAGA hats. I never said that. I didn't need to add anything like that."
Stop. Huh. Here's a story from USA Today. The headline, "Empire star Jussie Smollett, attackers yelled, 'This is MAGA country,' during the beating. Chicago police, blah, blah, blah." You get down to about eight paragraphs down, and it says, "Sergeant Cindy Guerra confirmed to USA Today that Smollett said in a follow-up interview the next day that his alleged attackers yelled, 'This is MAGA country.' So apparently, there was some confusion on whether or not he said it. Now, he seems to be confused yet. And the Chicago police said, no, 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 he didn't say that. Then USA Today called and said, could you check on that? They checked on it, said, oh, yep, you know what? The next day, he did say that. So I guess he does need a little cherry on a racist Sunday. The problem is he's the racist. Let me give you a story from, let me give you two stories from the press just this weekend. There is a story from the Washington Post where the writer, now this is an editorial writer, a writer from the Washington Post, an editor, said she really needs this to be true. She needs this to be true. What do you mean you need this to be true? I want this to be true. I need it to be true. Does anybody remember after 9/11 when we started having copycats? Remember when we started getting all kinds of powder sent to us and we were hoping, praying that this was not an American copycat, that this was somebody that was doing this, that we wanted to trust each other? Do we remember that feeling? Maybe it was just me who wanted that, but I don't think so. You want to live in a country where this is true? I want to live in a country where this is not true. Now, she went on to say, because just think of the damage that will be done. Which brings me to the second story, this one from the New York Times. Republicans are already demonizing Democrats as socialists and baby killers. Now, this isn't related to the Smollett case, but yet it is. We don't believe the Smollett case. So apparently we just all group all of it together. We don't believe this guy. So we're not going to believe any racism exists. Well, that is a danger of crying wolf. However, I don't think that's who the American people are. And look at how the New York Times story, this is not an editorial, this is a story. Republicans are already demonizing Democrats as socialists and baby killers. Well, I got news for you. If the baby is born and then you kill it, what else would you be called? If you believe capitalism is a thing of the past, and you believe that the government can run things better, that's a socialist. What else would you be called? Jussie Smollett wanted so badly to believe that Americans were just homophobic racists that he had to hire two Kenyans to perpetrate this hoax on us. I guess there are jobs that Americans still won't do. Now, I don't know how he could have possibly thought that one of them was named Cletus, because they don't look like a Cletus to me. He orchestrated this. I want to take a break and come back with just a list of all of the stories where people have been orchestrating these things. Because that's exactly what's happening. And the press doesn't get it. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And if the press doesn't wake up, we're screwed. We're screwed. How's this going to fix any? How's this going to be fixed? How are we going to come together if the press doesn't see their involvement? But again, they don't want to see their involvement. Again, it's just confirmation bias. Others are doing this. We're not involved at all. Yes, you are. give you the list of just the things that are directly correlated with this. Donald Trump is to blame because this racist thing happened and it turned out to be a hoax. We'll do that when we come back.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Bad time to be a renter. According to new research, the national average of rent rose 4.2% last year. If you feel that pain, it's time to consider other options, like buying a home with help from American Financing. The salary-based mortgage consultants can customize a loan fit for your needs, and they can include options for down payment assistance. Now, here's the thing. Troubled times are coming. So if you want a loan, if you want to buy something, now is the time to buy it. But make sure you're not reaching too far. Don't do what everybody does. I want to buy this. And then you end up buying something that is out of your reach. So many people do that. It's a huge mistake. Troubled times come. You need the loan that is right for you. And this is what I love about American Financing. They employ salary-based mortgage consultants, so they don't work on commission. They work for you, so they really listen and try to get the right loan for you. I want you to call or visit AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net. Rates right now are historically low still. It may be the best time for to buy a home in a very long time to come. It's American Financing, AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net, or call 800-906-2440. That's 1-800-906-2440, AmericanFinancing.net. 10 seconds, station ID. Wait till you see the Yale newspaper. Is published a guide to, quote, destroying white boys.
Finally.
Finally, it's being done. Mm-hmm. And I got a story from Brian Stelter, who's got a very brilliant thing to say today. Okay. Cyberstalking, making hoax bomb threats. Ann Arbor woman reported a hate crime. She was suffering from depression, and she said that she had been prompted. She had been attacked, and she told I don't know why they picked on me. She said maybe it was a safety pin that she was wearing. What does a safety pin represent? Do you have any idea? Okay, well, somebody out there apparently knew what a safety pin meant and didn't like that. And so it's a hate crime. Well, it turns out, nope, she was just crazy. She had made a superficial scratch on her face, and she was embarrassed about it. And so she said a stranger had done it to her while she was walking, and her friend said, you should report it to the police, and I made a big mistake by doing that. Yep. Kansas State. Second time in 2 years, racist slurs at Kansas State was a hoax. Officers received a report of a note using a racial slur posted on a door in an apartment complex. Upon questioning, the person who reported the incident admitted to creating and posting the note to their own door. The matter will be addressed, they said. But this was the one that had the note, beware N-words, live here. Remember that story? Yeah, that was a hoax. How about this one? Villanova. Villanova had a report of a black female student allegedly knocked down by young white males yelling, Trump, Trump, Trump. But the student doesn't want to pursue the matter, but wanted to make sure that it's hard to move forward. It's hard to move forward. Well... yeah, and it was hard for the university to move forward because it was fake. So they couldn't find anybody that had done that. New Jersey man arrested, 58 years old. He was arrested in connection with racist and politically charged messages that appeared spray painted on a property in South Philadelphia on the day after the Trump election. He was arrested because he wrote Trump rules, and Trump rules black B words and the letter T. I guess that's just, I have no idea.
Could have been a tea party. Could have been, there's a lot of things that could be done.
Yeah.
Low tea.
Yeah.
Could have a low testosterone issue.
A report of a racist note on a black student's windshield. This happened in Minnesota. A racist threat against a St. Olaf student that touched off campus-wide protest and forced the college to cancel classes earlier this month was a fake, according to this story. A threat, an anonymous typewritten note, was fabricated. It was a strategy to draw attention to concerns about the campus climate. It was not a genuine threat. The note was tucked into the windshield of a black student's car, and they were just trying to show that, you know, this is something good has got to come out of such a bad thing. But it was full of racial epithets and of course, Trump. Woman told police she was driving home when four teens confronted her, yelled Trump 2016, and told her she didn't belong here, to go home. The woman, who told the police she had a hateful note on her car after a group of teens did this to her, said, I made the entire story up. Muslim woman. She reported a hate crime on the subway. 18-year-old Muslim woman claimed that three men attacked her on a Manhattan subway. They tried to pull off her hijab and turned out to be completely fake. She was making that up. Long Island man, Nassau Community College, said he couldn't sleep at night because somebody had drawn swastikas several different times at various different locations on the campus. Three swastikas were found inside of a man's bathroom, and he couldn't sleep at night. I don't know how people sleep at night when they're the ones who do it. Police found out he was the perpetrator. I'm not even a third of the way through these stories that have come out in the last year, and the Washington Post has the guts to say that we're going to use this one to say that people are making things up? No. Do you not yet get it? This is why we don't believe the news.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Not all office chairs are made the same, and I am grateful for that today because I'm sitting in an X chair. An X chair. They have made a couple of new modifications. They now have improved wheels, which can enhance your X chair's performance, protect your floors with X wheel blade casters.
I don't think we have those on this.
I'm a little upset.
I demand they send us X-wheel blade casters.
These are cement floors. I mean, you're going to scratch these beautiful studio cement floors. The urethane wheels are driven by butter-smooth, whisper-quiet ball bearings and are built to last. Also, a wider base. Oh, because we have wider bases now. Anyway, check out all the new things happening at X-Chair. X-Chair has a new financing option. Pay as little as $30 a month. XChairBeck.com. That's XChairBeck.com. Use the promo code Beck and you're going to get a free footrest.
Tonight on Glenn Beck TV, you're going to be able to go through all of these cases that we're talking about and what actually happened afterwards. You can subscribe at BlazeTV.com/Beck.
Why pay your hard-earned money to join an organization that fought for a government-run healthcare system and stood against tax cuts for middle-class Americans and small business owners? That's AARP. Join AMAC, the conservative alternative. Same money-saving benefits of AARP without the liberal agenda. Stand with AMAC as they fight the good fight. Become a member today. Join now at amac.us/USA. amac.us/USA.
Wow, Indiana church vandalized with slurs, made up. Arrest made after anti-Semitic graffiti cancels a political event. Political event at a Brooklyn synagogue. Classes were even canceled for that. It was totally made up. Black church fire hate crime. Yeah, it was a black parishioner that started it. UL student said somebody stole my hijab. Well, they were probably short of theirs. They were like, ah, mine's in the laundry. What do I do? Made up. This is fake news. This is fake news. And let me give you, before we bring Pat in, let me give you this from Brian Stelter. He said, oh, Friday, I went to see the show Network on Broadway. Of course they're playing Network now. Of course they're doing that. Well, one of the monologues by Bryan Cranston's character, Howard Beale, rang in my ears all weekend long. He said, and I quote, here is the truth, the real truth, the thing we must be most afraid of. It's the destructive power of absolute beliefs, that we can know anything conclusively, absolutely, whether we're compelled to it by anger, fear, righteousness, injustice, indignation. As soon as you have ossified in that belief, as soon as you start believing in the absolute, you stop believing in human beings, as mad and tragic as they are, in all of their complexity, their otherness, their intractable reality. The only commitment any of us can have is to other people. Wow. And it's not like you or anybody,
it's beautiful,
anyone at CNN have an ossified belief of what Trump is, what Trump supporters are, what white men are, what America is. No, none of that. None of that. Welcome to the program, Mr. Pat Gray.
Thank you.
This is, by the way, this is Mikey Contreras.
Bing. Man, that's Chicago. I mean, that is Chicago.
Mm-hmm. It
that
is.
Sums up Chicago. And these two white black,
very white.
Black Nigerian
they
guys.
They were very white for black men.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. I think Nigeria, isn't that the country where deliverance took place? So it doesn't surprise me at all that they would act this way. you don't come around these parts, son.
There has to be a spittoon. I believe that corner in Chicago is where all the spittoons are.
They call it Spittoon Alley.
Yeah, they do? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We took time out from our moonshine running to beat the crap out of you, Mr. Homosexual.
Bing, bing.
And are we ever going to hear, the apologies from... I don't know, the Nancy Pelosi's and Cory Booker's of the world who jumped to their conclusions.
You know what? I don't want an apology. I don't want an apology. I really don't.
An acknowledgement?
An acknowledgement.
Yes.
And what I really want is the press to learn from their mistakes. But they're not mistakes. Yeah. That's the problem. We can't get so wound up that I want an apology for their mistake. It isn't a mistake. This is what they've been ossified in their belief.
You played the reaction, the media reaction from all the reporters from MSNBC and CNN. And I think to me the worst is Al Sharpton, because you talk about not learning a lesson.
He doesn't learn. No.
I mean, Tawana Brawley.
But you're making
Duke
my point.
Duke lacrosse team.
You're making my point.
They're not going to.
He is not interested in the truth.
They don't care.
He is looking for power, manipulation, any story that helps him further his voice, he does. Anything that helps further his point of view, even if it turns out to be false, it doesn't matter. So he's not making a mistake, and I contend the press is not making a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, look, a mistake is doing what maybe we did. I didn't tweet about this story, but I did come out and say, I think I said, if this story is true, this is horrible.
Yes.
And that's the way you deal with it. If this story is true, it's horrible. And then you wait to see if the story is true. But what they do is they drop all alleges, and they just, even if they say the word, they don't really mean it. Because then they'll go on and on and on and on about what a horrible racist white culture this is and how bad Donald Trump is. To the point to where they are now saying, well, this isn't true. But this is going on. That's essentially what Cory Booker said.
I'm going to withhold my judgment until the facts come out. Why didn't you do that in the first place? And then he proceeded to say, but we do know in America that these kinds of crimes are on the rise.
The fake ones? Yeah, they're right. Yeah, that's
they
true.
Are.
They are on the rise.
Because the real ones are not.
No, that's true. And this is what you would expect, right? Out of a country and a society that's been crafted to give gold medals to whoever's the most victimized. Right, that is what we are now doing, this like intersectionality Olympics thing all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, people are incentivized to get there. We are praising people who have been victims more than really any other part of our culture. Success now is something that's bad. If you achieve personal success, you need to get taxed at 90% and you're an evil millionaire or billionaire. On the other side of that, if you're a victim, there's nothing but praise for you everywhere. So there's no surprise that all these people are chasing that feeling.
This is a summary of Moral Sentiments by Adam Smith. Adam Smith said, here's how capitalism works in Wealth of Nations. This is what the free market is. But in the preceding book, book one in this study of capitalism, is The Moral Sentiment. And it says, the free market will give you whatever the people want. So the people really have to guard themselves. They have to be rulers of themselves and of their passions and their desires. Well, our passion and desire right now apparently is, well, we just want to hate white people. We just want to hate white people. We want to hate Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the market is buying. There is no market for, hey, let's be good to each other. Let's not do this. We're better than this. There is no real market for that. A great example, BBC. BBC did a documentary, and it was on the rise of hate crimes in Poland, if I'm not mistaken. Now, it's a documentary. Came out completely bogus. They just made it all up. These documentary workers sold the BBC a documentary completely made up.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Why is that? Because people want to work, and unscrupulous people who are like, okay, well, what are they buying? Because I've sat in these meetings before. I've been in meetings with Netflix and Amazon and everybody else. And I know that the agents will say prior to you have specific agents just for Amazon, just for Netflix. And their job is to tell the agency, this is what they're buying right now. This is what's hot for them. They want stories like this. They want shows like this. And so you don't get a meeting with them unless you're pitching something that they're buying. So if you're out there and you're like, okay, what will Netflix buy? What will Amazon buy? This group, I'm sure. What will the BBC buy? Well, they're really high on documentaries about hate crime right now. Great. We'll do one on Poland. And how hate crimes, because you got to know Polish hate crimes. Then you get in there, you find out that that's not the truth. Well, you've sold it. You're working on their dime. Make it up. That's the way this happens. It's the free market. And we are people that don't have moral sentiments anymore. We want that story in the Washington Post where the editor wrote today, I want to believe this story.
Why?
She's honest.
Why?
Yeah, I know.
At least there's honesty honest. There.
She wants to believe this story.
And you know CNN did, MSNBC did, NBC did. They all wanted to believe the story. They wanted it to be true.
Because it proves to them some moral, larger truth.
Yeah,
right?
About example. The right.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, do you see
And they know that it does exist. It just doesn't exist in the amount that they say it is. They know that it exists, so they justify it as, this is why they downplay it when they find out, because they're right now. Look at the editorials. They're all like, do you know what this is going to do? This is going to hurt the real racism.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course
we know that.
Yeah.
We know that. That's why we've been bitching about Al Sharpton forever. You put him on as an MSNBC host. Yeah. We bitch about him because he hurts real racism.
I mean, do you hear Ellen Page, the actress? Ellen Page, now, if you don't know who she is in a sort of a progressive Quantum Leap episode for the rest of her life, because at some point she unintentionally made a really good movie that happened to be pro-life, or have a pro-life message, Juno, which became a big movie and kind of the movie she's known for. So for the rest of her life, she has to say the most crazy liberal things. And then until eventually she says enough of them and she can leap back to the right future or something. She's in that mode of like paying penance for all of her previous sins of saying something pro-life. So she goes on all these shows and she's always saying the most liberal crazy thing. Listen to her on Colbert about this attack back when it was going on.
He believes in conversion therapy.
Blaming it on Mike Pence.
He has hurt LGBTQ people so badly as the government of Indiana. And I think the thing we need to know, and I hope my show Gaycation did this, in terms of connecting the dots, in terms of what happened the other day to Jesse. I don't know him personally. I sent all of my love. Connect the dots. This is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a position of power and you hate people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to cause suffering to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You go through the trouble. You spend your career trying to cause suffering.
Thank you.
What do you think is going to happen?
We're going to weep.
Kids are going to be abused and they're going to kill themselves.
Oh, gosh.
And people are going to be beaten on the street.
Yeah.
Listen to the passion in her voice.
Yeah. She's crying.
Listen to what she's saying. If this is what you do, you hate people so much that you dedicate your life to that. That's Jussie Smollett.
Yeah.
He hates people who are different than him so much. He has come into a place to where he believes that's who these people are.
To the point where he concocts and perpetrates this hoax and pays people $4,000 to do it with him. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Just real quick before we take a break, Pat, how do you believe, and this comes from, what's his name? We have him on, John Ziegler, coming up in a minute. He said last week, I think what happened, what I've heard, is that the police and everybody were just going to move past this. And then he had the balls to double down and go on GMA.
Wow.
And they
really,
they were like, okay, dude.
And they already suspected.
Yeah, they already suspected. They put
and they were just going to let it go.
Remember, they put that the two gray lumps, that picture of the two gray lumps.
Yeah.
They put that out and he believes it was as bait. Because as soon as he went on GMA and said, that's them, they knew who those guys were.
Wow.
They rounded them up that day.
Wow.
Remember?
Yeah.
They knew exactly who they were. So they put it out going, okay, let's see. That's them. I mean, if you look back at the ABC interview, he's like, and I want them arrested. That's them. I know it's them. How do you know it's them? I know it's them. Well, you did know.
I paid him good money to be there, so I know.
One of them's named Cletus. He's from Kenya. All right. Thank you very much, Pat. Our sponsor this half hour is 23andMe. Tonight, we are sitting down with my son, and we are going to read the results of his 23andMe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a big day.
It's a big day.
Because you don't know his background, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. We know that he's Scottish, so he's kind of hung up on the Scottish thing. He's like, you know, he's full on, he wants a kilt. That's all we know. That's all we know. And so we're going to find out his ancestry of his father and everything else today. And it's going to be, last night, we got it last night, and Tanya noticed it about 11 o'clock. And he said, can we open it now? Let's open it now. I'm like, no, it's 11 o'clock. Let's do it tomorrow. So today we do it.
Oh, great. So, do we get the results here on the program? Do we get some updates?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm going to do that.
You seem hesitant.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know what this is going to be like as a family. We could find out that he's actually got non-European blood in him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What if he's from Kenya?
Then he's probably attacking some actor.
Right.
From Empire. That's his future.
Right. Mm-hmm. You'll have to watch Empire. All right. 23andMe. Get your kit right now. 23andMe. It's such an exciting thing to be able to find out the history, especially like me, if you have an adopted son. or daughter, a DNA kit at 23andme.com. I don't mean that you have an adopted son or daughter. I have an adopted son who might decide at some point he's a daughter. Anyway, 23andme.com/Beck. That's 23andme.com/Beck. Take this journey with me. Learn about your health and learn about your history. 23andme.com/Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, the Yale Daily News, which I'm not sure of when the Castro brothers started to run it, and I mean the Fidel Castro brothers. The Yale Daily News has an article about destroying white boys. Let me just quote. Everyone knows a white boy with shiny brown hair and a saccharine smile that conceals his great ambitions. He could be in the great, the Grand Strategy or the Yale Political Union. Maybe he's the editor-in-chief of the news. He takes his classes, he networks, and when it comes time for graduation, he wins all the awards. One day, though, I'll turn on television. Who knows? Maybe televisions will be obsolete by this point, and I'll see him sitting down for his Senate confirmation hearing. But he'll be a little older, maybe tiny wrinkles, but that smile, that characteristic saccharine smile will remain the same. Yeah, when I'm watching the white boy, who's now a white man at this point on CNN, I'll remember the racist remarks that he said. This can't happen anymore. We can't let things slip by. She goes on to say that we should follow white boys and we should make sure that we capture everything about them and save them, because we'll have to destroy the white boy after he becomes a white man. I want to talk to you about X Chair for just 1 minute, and then we're right to our guest. X Chair, they build a buttload of chairs now, virtual, versatile comfort, extraordinary design. It has all of the bells and whistles. It has the lumbar support. The recline on this thing is better than really, and I mean this, you have to try it yourself. 30-day money back guarantee. You have to try it yourself. You lean back on this thing, and it is as comfortable as any recliner I've ever sat right. in. I mean, if your office, if you have a hard time staying awake, don't get this chair because it's really comfortable. X Chair comes with a 30-day, no questions asked guarantee of complete satisfaction for your home office, for your work office. Take advantage of X Chair's new financing option. Pay as little as $30 a month. X Chair is now on sale for $100 off. Just go to xchairbeck.com. That's xchairbeck.com. You use the promo code Beck, and you're also going to get a free footrest with it. So go to xchairbeck.com. John Ziegler is with us. He is an independent voice and writes for Mediaite, and he is one of the guys, and I think the first, to really take this Jussie Smollett case on and say, wait a minute, something's not right here. We talked to him on Friday as this was starting to fall apart, and he laid the case out. John, I'd like you just to lay the case out again real quick, just in case somebody isn't familiar with the case.
Sure. A couple weeks ago, Empire actor Jussie Smollett claimed that at 2 a.m. in Chicago, in the middle of a polar vortex, that he had been attacked by two Trump-loving goons who yelled, among other things, at him racial epithets, insulted his sexuality, and declared Chicago to be MAGA country, sprayed him with bleach, tied a rope around his neck, I guess, which was supposed to be a noose. He was the victim of a horrible hate crime, and the media, of course, shockingly lapped this up as if this was obviously true, and that there was no other scenario that could possibly be the case, because after all, in their minds, no one ever lies or exaggerates about any of this kind of thing, even though the end result, as you well know, Glenn, and many of your listeners know, is that many of these stories end up being false, and this one never made any sense. And the way that it fell apart over a couple week period of time to me is fascinating. And, you know, I appreciate you giving me the credit because, you know, I don't get credit for any of these types of stories. I have made literally hundreds of dollars over the years going after these stories.
Well, let's not stretch it.
I mean, it's not fun because, by the way, even when you're right, you still end up taking more grief than you get credit in most cases. But I feel like all I was the kid in The Emperor with No Clothes who's just going, wait a minute, the Emperor has no clothes here. Yeah. This is an obvious story. So, and what was fascinating about it, just to finish real quick, what was fascinating to me was I did a series of interviews in Chicago very early on in this story where, you know, I'm being used by Chicago radio hosts who are not supposed to be afraid of anything, right? Because they don't want to be the ones to say this is false, so they bring me on because I've written for Mediaite and say and tell them what they already are thinking, but no one wants to say. And that's really what happened here.
It's really frightening. So, John, I think one of the reasons why the average person may have been caught up on this and just accepted it is because at first he had gone to the hospital and you got the impression that he had to stay there for a day or two. And so he was really hurt. That's all bogus, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look now who it was, these two Nigerian brothers who are bodybuilders, who are the ones who were involved in this, if they were going to beat Jussie Smollett up, he would have had more than a scratch underneath his eye, and he would not have been able to go to Los Angeles almost immediately to do, I guess we would call it a concert, where he was dancing within a couple of days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that part didn't make a lot of sense. There were a lot of things that didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, the fact that he held on to his Subway.
Well,
I mean, that's a love of a sandwich, man. You're like, I'm fighting off two guys who are trying to beat me up, pour bleach on me, but I am not letting go of this sandwich.
Well, I have to say, and I was, and by the way, the police were, both of us were essentially wrong in our original theory about what happened, because I'm told from my sources, which have been very good on this story from the beginning, that originally the police, and I thought this made sense, because I'm not a conspiracy guy. I despise conspiracies. I believe in incompetence. But even the police were convinced that this couldn't have been a total hoax at first, because it was so poorly done, so incompetently done. Apparently, they even rehearsed it, and so I presumed, and again, the police thought this too, that this was some sort of a domestic dispute, a relationship he had had with one of these two actors that went wrong, and then he created the hate crime allegation afterwards. I am told that police still believe that there was a relationship between Smollett and one of the two of them, but they now believe that what happened here was that Smollett paid them to be part of this. One of the more interesting things I'm looking forward to as this goes along, which I'm sure is not going to happen, is Smollett going to get the Me Too treatment? Because if the police are right that he had a relationship with one of these two guys, he forced them, right, using his power as an actor in a romantic relationship to engage in a crime. Now that's a Me Too violation, is it?
Wow. This thing is absolutely fascinating. I saw it this morning that the police said one of the things that immediately said, wait a minute, this may not be right, is he took him to the scene where it happened and he immediately pointed out the video camera and said, I am so glad that camera is up there because you caught all of it on video. And it was so obviously pointed in the wrong direction. And they were like, hey, we've never heard that from a victim who's like, and I saw right away that there's a video camera right here. And it was so obvious that it was not going to pick this up. They went, uh-oh, something's wrong.
Well, Glenn, you make a really great point, which I underestimated the police at the beginning of this. I think the police played possum here.
I do, too.
I think that they made it seem as if they had no idea what was going on. They released the photograph of those two blurbs, those blobs that were the persons of interest. And at that time, I perceived, and I think Smollett perceived, that was a sign of weakness, that the police had nothing. They had no idea what was happening here. It is now very clear they knew immediately. immediately what was going on. They had been able to chart those two blobs, which turned out to be the Nigerians, all the way from the scene of the alleged hate crime into an Uber. They identified them. Apparently, they have video of them buying the rope, so they knew their identity from very early on. And of course, they immediately know they're Nigerian, they're black. One of them works on Empire. This story is clearly false. And you know, to use what I'm sure the left will think is a bad metaphor, they essentially gave Smollett enough real rope to hang himself because he ends up identifying them on Good Morning America, which of course was ridiculous to me. You couldn't identify the people when you were being attacked, but you're identifying two blobs in a grainy photograph.
So, and that's the incredible thing is he went on Good Morning America to say he doesn't appreciate how this is just, you know, how he's being treated and called a liar by some. It's just like those Trump people. And they put up the two blobs, and it's really like the back of two guys, isn't it?
I can't even tell.
I don't know. Because the faces were so dark, I just thought that they were, I don't know, wearing a hoodie or something and walking the other direction. There's no way you can tell anything about these two guys except it's two big people walking
standing up.
And he gets on and says, I know these are the guys. Well, how do you know? I was there. I saw it. I know these are the guys.
Right, which to me felt like desperation, like he's just latching on to anything that will substantiate his story. Also, under the belief that the police will never be able to identify these guys when they already had. And, of course, it's a couple hours after the Good Morning America interview finally airs when they apprehend them, they question them, they get them to flip on Smollett. They don't charge them. And now, of course, we're waiting for Smollett. I'm told the police are hoping that Smollett will turn himself in. I'm still very skeptical, Glenn, whether Smollett is going to suffer any severe legal consequences over this. The state's attorney in Cook County, I'm told, is very corrupt. They're going to be under a lot of political pressure to give him a sweetheart deal and let this just go under the rug. I told you on Friday, which I think was a key part of this, that Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, was pissed off, and he may have unleashed the dogs on Smollett when he went on Good Morning America, but he's not in charge of this anymore. This is a state's attorney's issue. And so I'm still skeptical whether the left will ever really be forced to eat the crow that they should on this. And I also think, and this is important for your audience, I hope that we don't just look at this as the left wants us to, as an isolated incident.
Oh, no, like it's not.
This is somehow unique. This is an epidemic. This is an epidemic, especially in the realm of hate crime situations. And it's also, I think, I've already driven people on the left crazy for raising this issue. But let's go back to Kavanaugh for a second, Brett Kavanaugh, because we were told that even though Christine Ford's story had no corroboration, by the way, Jesse Smollett's story at least had a time and a place.
and a picture of two blobs.
Right, two blobs and a contemporaneous report. I mean, but in comparison, Jesse Smollett's story was fantastically corroborated in comparison to Christine Ford. But we were told the reason we believe Christine Ford is that a prominent person would never tell an untruth about an allegation like this. That would never happen. What do they possibly have to gain? No one would ever do this and put themselves through this. Well, now we know that's bullcrap, because Jesse Smollett has done that for whatever reason he did. I don't fully understand why he did it. We may never know, but people do very strange things. And the other thing that's related to this is the number one misconception, especially the left has, is we now live in a world where being the right kind of victim is the American dream. It is. That's the biggest false premise of the whole thing. People presume we're still living in 19 whatever it was, when being a victim was somehow an item of shame. It's not an item of shame anymore. And by the way, maybe it never should have been, but the pendulum has swung so far in the other direction. People want to be a victim. You get adulation. You get attention. You get money in certain situations. I believe Colin Kaepernick figured this out and did it more beautifully than anyone has ever done in creating himself into being a victim. And now, you know, he's made millions and millions of dollars out of it when his football career should have been over by now. That's the number one premise. Being the right kind of victim is the American dream today.
When I come back, I want you, because you work for Mediaite, I would like to talk about the media and what the media should pull from all of these stories that they've done. What's the real problem here? Part of it is us the free market is like, who's buying stories about victims? Everybody. I've got a victim story. That's part one. But the other part is journalism and media today. And quite honestly, you touched on in the beginning, fear. We'll get to that in 1 minute. All right. I want to talk to you about being safe online. Free Wi-Fi doesn't mean safe Wi-Fi. Even if you have a password, the problem, John just used the word epidemic. There's so many things that are epidemic right now. And one of those is the loss of information, the sharing of personal information, the bogus sense of safety that you might feel when you're online. Because, well, I got a firewall. Well, I got a password. Oh, okay. Okay, good. Here's the way to make sure that Facebook isn't following you. And I hate to say this, but there's this new book out called Surveillance Capitalism. And worth the read, because we're trading our freedom for convenience. And we are begging people to surveil us. And I'm not comfortable with it, because I just don't think that... these companies will, in the end, be our friends. This information is culling everything about our life. Well, online, there's one way to stop it, and that is by using a VPN. Now, Facebook is offering a VPN. That's a virtual private network. And Facebook offers one. Yeah, do you, Facebook? Oh, I can trust you. There is one VPN you can trust, and it's Norton Secure VPN from one of the most trusted names in cybersecurity. Norton Secure VPN, easy to use, virtual private network that works on your laptop and your mobile devices. You install it once, you log in once, and it immediately provides you with more online privacy and security, protecting you from hackers by encrypting your connection. Starts at about $3.33 a month for your annual subscription. Enjoy Wi-Fi without any worries about privacy or security. It's $3.33 a month with an annual subscription. That's where it starts. All you have to go to is Norton.com/VPN. That's Norton.com/VPN. 10 seconds, station ID. John Ziegler, so what is the media going to pull out of this, or should pull out of this, and what role do they play in all of this?
Great question, Glenn. Those are two very different things. What they should and likely will. First of all, I think that they're an unindicted co-conspirator in the Jussie Smollett story. And I mean, without them, I don't think Smollett would have ever thought, one, that he could get away with this, or that he would get adulation for it. That's number one. Number two, what they should take away from this is, let's not be so damn gullible. Let's not take everything at face value. I mentioned on Friday, I have an equation. It's really pretty simple. You just take the how implausible a story is, how little corroboration it has, and then you divide it by how hesitant the media or the authorities would be to debunk it because of political correctness concerns. And if you get a number less than one, the story's probably not true. And that formula has worked for me on many, many occasions. And on this occasion, it was as clear as day that the story's probably not true. But the problem here is the business model of the media is broken. It is badly broken. Every single element of the media is broken, which means the two things. Everyone has to lunge after every story that looks like it might get clicks or traffic or trend on Twitter immediately, which means that, of course, there's no time for introspection. There's no time for research or investigation. And then, of course, the other part of the broken business model is that the people within the business have no job security. And when you have no job security, you can't do real journalism, because real journalism requires saying things often that are unpopular. unpopular or dangerous. Well, in this day and age, if you say something that's unpopular or dangerous when you have no job security, guess what's going to happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
You? Especially if you happen to be a white male, you're in a story like this, you're done. It's over, and there's no place to get another job. So that's where the fear comes in that you already referenced. So there's way too much fear. And by the way, no one ever gets fired for jumping on these types of stories. You only get in trouble if you contradict them and don't get vindicated immediately because you pissed off the wrong people.
So John, here's the thing about this is as we're looking at this story, nobody's buying a story. Nobody wants to run a story that the narrative is counter to this one. And so you're not incentivized in any way. Everybody wants to be first or wants to be in the stream. Nobody is actually trying to be right over first. And the last thing is, there isn't anybody in the media that really doesn't want to believe this story. This is what they believe anyway. So it's massive confirmation bias.
100%, especially that's why the liberal media gets these things wrong so often. But I think your point about incentivization is so incredibly important because there's still a lot of people who believe that truth is the coin of the realm of the media and journalism. I don't know if that was ever the case, but it's definitely not the case now. It's popularity that's what matters, and oftentimes the popular narrative is inherently faulty because of what you mentioned about confirmation bias. And of course, you and I have talked many times about the Penn State Joe Paterno Jerry Sandusky case. To me, this is the patron saint of all of these cases, where what the truth is, and I've investigated for 6 years, I know with every fiber of my being to be 180 degrees different than what the popular narrative was. But the narrative that was popular was so overwhelming that it was a tidal wave over the truth, and the truth is never going to win in that case, and it's not close. And this is not an isolated situation. That's just the most dramatic one I've seen.
Okay, John Ziegler, you can find him at Zygmunt Freud, and also with Mediaite. Thank you so much, John Ziegler, for bringing this story before anyone else would.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
So listen to this. Traffic stop expired registration led to the discovery of an alleged identity theft schemes carried out by a former Jackson Hewitt tax preparer. Police say they've been able to find 8 victims of identity theft so far. They're concerned there could be thousands of them. Jeez. Police contacted one of the victims. She was confused how the suspect had a copy of her license because she never lost hers. So this is somebody that was preparing taxes and then taking all of that information and selling it. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy what's going on right now. Information stolen in a data breach is used to commit ID theft. And everybody has to be aware of this. Every 2 seconds, somebody loses their identity. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can uncover the threats you might miss on your own. Join now, get 10% off the first year by using promo code BECK at 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or lifelock.com, promo code BECK, 1-800-LIFELOCK.
Speaking of promo code Beck, you should also use that when you go to blazetv.com/Beck. Sign up, get all the great conservative personalities that you love, and get $10 off as well.
Small business owners, do you need help managing cash flow, hiring employees, purchasing inventory? Getting access to capital from traditional banks is incredibly challenging and time-consuming for small business owners. But here's the solution: OnDeck. OnDeck is 100% committed to small business owners with fast, easy, and tailored financing. Get funding in as fast as 24 hours with term loans up to $500,000 and lines of credit up to $100,000. The application process is simple and won't impact your personal credit. OnDeck has lent over $10 billion to over 80,000 small business owners and carries a 9.8 out of 10 rating on Trustpilot and an A+ rating with the BBB. If you're a small business owner and need quick access to capital, go to ondeck.com/blaze right now. As a listener to this podcast, you'll receive a free consultation with one of their U.S.-based loan specialists. Get approved online or by phone in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com/blaze. That's ondeck.com/blaze for your free consultation now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. There is a... there is an interesting look at the media from the media, and also something else that we all need to learn about our actions matching what we believe. I think that's a fallacy that we're all, well, I want my action. Really? Is that what you want? Is that what you want? I'll get into that here in just a second.
A lot of people are saying there's no consequences for Smollett. He's not going to face any.
He's not going to. There won't be any consequence.
You really think so? I think there's going to be consequences on this one.
But what do you think is going to happen to Smollett?
A giant, fat deal as a spokesperson for Subway. Here's a guy who waded through a band of marauders.
Yes.
Named Cletus, mm-hmm. attacking him when he had his tuna sandwich in his hand. And what did he do? He made it through. He got that tuna sandwich all the way to his belly.
Can I tell you something? Mm-hmm. Kaepernick wants to go back in. I think Smollett should be, and I don't know anything about sports, but I think mm-hmm. a running back.
Okay.
Isn't that the guy who grabs the ball and runs?
There you go. Good
that
job,
guy bud. Is not letting go of that Subway.
That's right.
Make that football, paint it like it's wrapped in a Subway wrapper. That guy's never going to let it go.
And the good thing with Subway is even if he is charged with a crime, it's still better than previous spokespeople. So this is a good way for them to go. And I think it, I think
that.
It works.
I like that. Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. Let me take you back to the media here. The media is saying, I want to quote, there are two competing definitions of media. There is one view promoted by professional anti-media messengers like Donald Trump Jr., who portray the media as just one big blob. He tweeted, Media Hollywood desperately wanted Smollett's claims to be true to push their hate of conservatives. Then there's the other view, which I know to be true, that the media is made up of thousands of outlets and hundreds of thousands of people, with great journalists and lazy aggregators, with no single mission or belief system. There are mistakes and built-in biases? Sure, definitely. But most journalists are trying their best to report what is true. This competitive, chaotic world of media contradicts Don Jr.'s imagined world. Okay, so let me ask you this.
Is that a warning against collectivism, essentially?
Yeah.
It's interesting. They want to see people, they want people to be seen as individuals.
Yes.
Oh, it's an interesting concept.
Unless by the government.
Right, unless it's the government.
Yeah.
Or if it's, you know, evil white Trump supporters, right?
Yes.
Those people are all seen as with a broad brush.
Tea parties, yeah. Conservatives.
Oh, God, yes.
Anyone.
Group of all.
Christians.
Oh, my gosh.
Group.
Yes.
Group, 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 group.
And we
but
keep
when
saying.
When it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They try to make, everyone's basically the Westboro Baptist Church.
Correct.
And we keep saying that actually those are a few really bad people, but generally speaking, Christians
right.
aren't anything like that.
Right.
And, but
do we here's something for the media. Media, this at least is one show. Now, I know you like to take all talk radio and make us all alike, but it's crazy. We're all made up of thousands of individuals. But this is one individual who I will not dismiss cases of racism, because I know that there are racists and I know that racism exists. However, I am skeptical when everything seems to fit perfectly this narrative that you guys love to eat and shovel out. So I am skeptical, but isn't that what you're supposed to be?
You should
now,
be
here's
all
also,
the time.
Here's also one guy who will report that it is a lie that black people, brown people, yellow people, red people, any people couldn't be racist. No, no. Race is a human trait. Just like our biases, those are human traits. It's how we are raised, what we are, how we're educated, who we're around, what influences us. Those things are called bias. Some of us can say, yeah, I'm a conservative. I'm absolutely a conservative, but I am not blind to loyalty. I am not just, oh my gosh, I've got to be loyal to this because I'm a conservative. No, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. You know, there's something that's happening in Brexit right now with the Brexit thing. Seven people have left the Labour Party because of their Brexit strategy and the ongoing anti-Semitism and racism in the, what a surprise, leftist party. When's that going to start happening here? When are we going to have journalists that go, you know what? I got to tell you, I was on the bandwagon, but you know, these guys have gone too far. These guys have gone too far. They will do anything. When's that going to happen? Because I know it happened on the right. A lot of us said, you know what? No, I don't have anything to do with the Republican Party anymore. I don't abandon my values, but it's really strange. I was painting a painting this weekend, and it was it's behind me now if you happen to be watching. And it is a picture of this really spooky looking guy in the shadows. And his eyes have almost like hypnotic rays coming out. And he has two hands out. One has the Facebook logo. The other has the Google logo. He represents like the government. Google is data information and AI. And Facebook is social media. And the painting is called Here to Help. It's Here to Help. Trust us. We're just here to help. No, it's not. When you close that loop of those three, it should scare the hell out of you. And as I was painting it, I realized this is rebellion stuff. This is stuff that the left should be doing right now. But they're not doing it. They don't even realize how out of step they are with their own values that they just are so hell-bent on destroying what they think is the problem that they haven't realized, oh, good God, I'm in bed with the devil. I'm in bed with everything I've always stood against.
I'm not an art critic, yeah. But I did want to point out to the audience who's listening on radio, I believe it's an accurate painting because the super scary guy is white.
Right,
you did make him white, that makes it powerful. If
well,
you made him
more
any
of
other
a bluish green, but
well, when the light's on his hands, though, they're pretty white.
Yeah,
so
yeah, well.
I think it's that's accurate because this is the exact type of guy that can beat you up while you're carrying
exactly.
your Subway sandwich.
Exactly,
and that, by the way, is on sale for 1 foot long for $5 this week.
Well,
that's
they
exactly
throw it
how
at you. You have to catch it and then run. Okay, so let me go into this. So we've talked about the free market. The free market. It has to have a virtuous people because the free market will provide whatever you want. Well, right now, the free market on the left wants these stories of victims and oppression and, you know, white MAGA hat wearing racists. That's what the system wants. That's the market is saying, I got a call for it over here. Who's got one? Who's got one? Who's got one? And so it's calling these out. And as we have shown you, and we will show you tonight at 5, over and over and over and over and over again, people are delivering it. They're fake. Doesn't mean that racism doesn't happen. It just means the media is getting trapped by all of these fakes because they want it so desperately. And why do they want it? They want it to destroy. See, the search for truth is not about destroying something. The search for truth is the search for truth. Let the chips fall where they may. But we've gone so far away from the truth. We just have our belief. We just know this is what I believe. And then we don't even really care about living it. Because if we really did care about living what we believe, we wouldn't have so much hypocrisy. Look at the hypocrisy. Both sides of the aisle. Look at the hypocrisy. You say one thing, you go in and do it. The debt is so un-American. Really? Look at the debt. Hear anybody crying about it? Nope. Why? Because nobody really cares.
No, the debt is just something that's used when the other party's in power.
Correct. I care about the debt. Mm. I'm talking about the spending now, and I was talking about the spending then.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who's in. This is a problem, okay? But we want a virtue signal. And our virtue signaling causes people to say, well, look at the hypocrisy. His action doesn't meet his belief. But we're so far beyond that as the problem. Our actions matching our belief system. We're so far beyond that. Don't ask that question. Well, I want to make sure that my actions line up with my belief. Yeah, you might want to go back a step, because what really matters today, if you want to fix the country, you want to fix yourself, you want to fix your community, you want to fix your country, you want to fix journalism, Stop asking if your action matches what you believe and start asking whether your belief matches the truth.
All right, I have a pitch for you. Okay. Hi, I'm Jussie Smollett. Recently, I was in the news for being attacked as a part of a racial hate crime. And part of the story I told was not true. It wasn't about race. It wasn't about Trump. They were after my foot-long tuna sandwich from Subway.
You're telling me that's not effective? I mean, that's selling a lot
in
of
today's
tuna.
World? Mm. In today's world? Yeah. Yeah, I think it does.
I think it works. I think it does. They should do it.
Yeah. All right. Our sponsor this half hour is American Financing. My brother is helping his daughter buy her first home because her rent is rising so significantly. It's up like 5%. And he's working with American Financing right now. They found a great program with little down, great rates. It's still a responsible loan. It's really kind of starting to be a bad time to be a renter. And I think it's going to be even more so as time goes on. Might be good to be able to rent out your house, but a bad time to be a renter because the national average has risen almost 5%. It's over 4% last year. And if you feel that pain, now is the time. You might want to visit American Financing and look at a small house that maybe you can own yourself, but get the right loan. And that's where American Financing comes in. They make sure that this is the right loan for you and for your family. They don't work for the bank. They're not trying to upsell you anything. They just want you to have the right loan. So AmericanFinancing.net. That's where you go. You can get pre-qualification in 10 minutes. AmericanFinancing.net. Or you can call 800-906-2440. It's 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Welcome to Monday.
Hi, I'm Jussie Smollett. In a moment, I'm going to tell you about the all-new Ultimate Cheesy Garlic Bread and the new Ultimate Meatball Marinara or the new Ultimate Spicy Italian. But first, I want to address some reports about me and the media. It is true, I filed a false hoax against the police and against white people and Trump supporters in general. However, as a Subway spokesperson, I can guarantee you I have never touched a child in an inappropriate fashion. I have no photos of naked kids on my laptop.
I've never been fat before, so I didn't.
I don't. Look, the bottom line here is, yes, I'm a criminal, but we're going in the right direction. Okay? Here at Subway, we are going in the right direction. We are making things better, just like we made our classic meatball sub better with the Ultimate Cheesy Garlic Bread. Thank you.
I love it.
I think it works.
I think it absolutely works. Subway.
Eat fresh.
I think it works. I like it. What do you think, honestly, about him looking at Colin Kaepernick and seeing, you know, I'm like the ninth character on this show that I don't even know. I'm in the show. I don't even know if it's still on the air. So he's like the ninth character. He sees Colin Kaepernick. All you have to do is stand up against the power. Stand up for something that everybody, you know, on the left is for, all of your friends. And you know it's true anyway.
Mm-hmm.
America and the National Anthem, that's a racist song. We all know it's true. We all know that lynching is happening. So I just go the extra mile. I'm an actor. I can pull this off. Life, all the world is but a stage.
Yeah.
And he's doing it because he saw Colin Kaepernick making a fortune.
I mean, really, it's interesting that this actor is getting in trouble because of his poor acting. Like, I mean, if he just had better plot development, this may have actually worked. You're right.
But honestly, it's like a murderer going, no, but I followed the episode of Columbo to the letter.
No, yeah, it doesn't. It's not good. I will say that, too. I think with the Kaepernick thing is an interesting example because I think he probably has a motivation in that, like, this is how he sees the world and everything else. But if you look back at the last 20 years, we've seen many examples of people leaking their own sex tapes, mm-hmm. things that normally you would think
I mean, there was a time where people, when they got attacked, and if someone came to them and said, hey, did you get attacked? Are you the victim? No. You would downplay your own attack.
That's what he said. That's what he said. I didn't go to the police right away because I'm gay and I don't want gay people to, you know, people are always saying, oh, you gay people are weak.
But who says that?
And by the way, we all saw how tightly you held on to that subway. That's a strong man. Somebody trying to lynch you, throw bleach on you, and you're still holding on to that sandwich. I respect that.
And I saw the perpetrators of this. There were some photos that went around of them. They are in much better shape than I am. They are not weak.
No.
I don't think maybe there was a time where people thought gay people were weak. They seem to be in really good shape these days.
When did they say that they were gay?
They said one of them was in a relationship. That's one of the accusation the whole time.
Well, it doesn't make both of them gay now, does it, Hater?
I don't.
And why do you call them both him?
There's three people. Two of them, if they were in a relationship, it would mean multiple people were gay in the relationship. I would think.
Multiple is not all, is it?
I didn't say all.
I just said the tape back. That's what I heard. That's what America heard.
But that doesn't matter if that's what you heard or what America heard.
Sorry, mister. Oh, I got Country Time Lemonade where the truth mattered. Yeah, I got it.
Now we're on to Subway. We don't touch kids. That's our new slogan.
Sure, we still have criminals representing us, but they're not doing creepy things with kids. Come on, have a sandwich.
We hope in 5 to 6 years to have a person who's only convicted of a misdemeanor as our spokesperson. We're going the right way.
Oh, what's happened to our country? All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about iTarget Pro. If you are somebody who is a shooter, you know that that's a perishable skill. And if you're not out shooting, you're going to lose that skill. I do it for sport, but if somebody comes into my house, I know I'm good enough to stop the threat in my house. But I will tell you, you have to get comfortable with that gun, and trigger control is the most important thing. And dry firing, they say dry fire, just sit in your couch, just dry fire. Nobody's going to do that.
That's boring, first of all.
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
And you're not knowing if, you don't have no idea if you're improving.
Yes.
Right?
So here's the thing. So if you dry fire, if you put a iTarget Pro system in, it's just like a bullet-sized laser. And you put a target at the other end, and you put your iPhone by the target. It maps where you're hitting. So it's like going to the range, except you're not spending anything on bullets. And I'm telling you, for most people, one day at the range, you'll pay for this.
Oh, yeah, easy.
So iTarget Pro, iTargetPro.com. Go there now, iTargetPro.com. It is so well worth the money if you're somebody who wants to get good at using a gun. iTarget Pro.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
It's Wiener Out Day. People may not know that. It's Wiener Out Day.
Wiener's
Out Day. I'll explain that here in just a second. In fact, 1 minute, 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We begin the program here in just 60 seconds. First, let me tell you about Simply Safe. Only 17% of homes, this boggles my mind, 17% of homes have a security system installed. Studies show most burglars will force to attempt to determine whether or not a home has a burglar alarm. Most burglars break in through the front door. I didn't know that either. Most of them, three quarters, go through the front door in the daytime. They just break down the door. The reason why they use the front door, shockingly, is because if you do have a burglar alarm, sometimes they just will cut it right there. They know they have about, 60 seconds and they can cut it. I don't know if that actually works, but I know this. Simply Safe doesn't have any wires that you can cut. And 87% of all burglaries are considered preventable. That's why there is Simply Safe. Maybe you don't have a burglar system, burglar alarm, because it's too expensive. Well, I understand you can't afford $55 a month. That's a lot of money. How about $14.99 a month? That's affordable. You own your system. There is no contract. You don't have to, you know, you be a customer for the 24/7 on call for 1 month. I'm going on vacation for a week and I want it that month. $14.99. You own the system. You control when it's monitored. But just having it there by the front door when burglars look in, they check. If you have SimpliSafe, you have a burglar alarm, SimpliSafe is great because there's no strings attached and no wires to cut. It's SimpliSafeBeck.com. Go there now, SimpliSafeBeck.com. You'll get 10% off your system at SimpliSafeBeck.com. Wiener's out. Now, that's not a command. That's a statement. Wiener's out. A disgraced former congressman, convicted sexual offender, Anthony Wiener, is out.
I mean, how much time should you spend in prison for sexting a 14-year-old? I mean, that's certainly not more than, what?
15 months.
15 months is a complete months. Max. That's too much. They only went against him because this country is against high-powered politicians, and particularly Democrats.
Well, he's also he has to pay a $10,000 fine, which, you know, it shouldn't be hard for him, seeing that he had a lot of money in the first place. Mm. But he also has to register as a sex offender, and he does have 3 years probation where he is closely monitored.
So when they say probation, how much sexting with 14-year-olds does that allow for?
I don't think any. But well, he's a Democrat, so maybe some.
Maybe some. Maybe I mean, some. You should at least give him a couple of weeks.
Right.
Perhaps, when you really think about it, he can do as much as he wants. He just can't get caught again.
Exactly.
You got to be a little bit
his
like...
His crime was... I mean, who are you to judge? Love is love. And who are you to judge?
Right.
Love
exactly.
finds a way.
You know, if a man named Carlos Danger wants to interact with a, you know, a fan of Justin Bieber... Actually, too old of a reference now. Those, they're probably all over 14 now. Right. But whoever is popular enough, Cardi
with 14.
B. Is Cardi B? Would Cardi B be a good
I
one here?
Know.
I don't know. Whoever
don't
that
know.
Is, that how can you stop a man from doing such a thing?
By the way, there's somebody else that is in prison for similar things. It's Bill Cosby. And Bill Cosby is, quote, having an amazing experience.
Good for him.
Right. Mm-hmm. In an interview... his press spokesperson, Andrew Wyatt, said he used the term amazing experience. Now, he was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison for drugging and sexually assaulting women. He's living off by himself for a while. He's just been put into general population. His wife still has not come to meet him.
Oh, no.
In prison.
Uh-oh.
No. He talks to her 3 times a day for 3 minutes
okay.
on the phone. He says he doesn't want her to come see him in prison, but he's having an amazing experience. He said it's not what he expected.
That's great news.
Yeah.
You know, things change, Glenn. Things change quickly. You know, there's a time where Bill Cosby was so beloved.
Mm-hmm.
In our society.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you a little flashback here for a moment? Mm-hmm. I think an interesting study mm-hmm. in how the media operates. So the governor of Virginia,
mm-hmm.
he wore blackface in the early 1980s.
I know.
As you know.
I know.
And
well, remember, first of all, let's remember where this started. It started with a complete racist, Megyn Kelly, who just asked a question. I don't understand if you're wearing it. If you're wearing blackface, you know, but you want to glorify that person, she was terminated immediately for asking the question, can you wear blackface if you're doing a tribute and you're trying to look like this individual? She was terminated immediately.
That's amazing. I had totally forgotten that was the reason.
Yeah.
About $100 million or, you know, it was like $20 million a year, whatever her contract was.
She got a full $67 million payout.
$67 million.
How much they wanted to get rid of her. And they did it with the excuse that she was a racist because she asked that question. But tell me about the governor who's still
in office.
In office.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And also the third guy in line for being a governor also mm-hmm. had worn blackface.
Yeah, but the second guy in line, he was only sexually assaulting people.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Allegedly. Glenn.
Allegedly.
Now, the blackface is not alleged.
Yes.
Because that would actually... Mm. So, remember, this is the early 1980s. He admits to having Michael Jackson and blackface on. And the reporting on it from the New York Times was, I think the headline was, the governor parties like it's 1884. That was their headline. And I thought to myself, like, here's a... Yes, obviously, we all know that blackface is a really bad idea, and you should not wear it. However, there has been a time in the past where that was not the way people thought about it. I mean, certainly some did, right? Like, we know that there have been really bad examples of this over the past. But I thought myself, Soul Man was a movie released by a major studio in which the plot of the movie is a white guy goes into blackface to get into Harvard. And it's a hilarious comedy about a white guy who puts on blackface to go into Harvard. Now, we would all say now that would not be something that would be released. And no one would act in it if offered. However, in this period, was it that crazy? Again, it was before Soul Man came out. Like, what, 6 years previous to this, he supposedly wore blackface. Okay. And in 1986, the movie Soul Man came out. And I thought to myself, self, what was the New York Times saying about Soul Man in 1986? Because were they out there saying, like, this is a relic from 1884? They said, now they're saying it's party like in 1884. Here is their review of Soul Man in the New York Times from 1986.
I love you, Stu. I just love you.
There's nothing, and I want you to understand this, Glenn. There's nothing automatically funny about the story of a rich white college boy who masquerades as a black.
It's not automatically. It's not automatically. You got to work into this one a little bit. We're going to make you work for that laugh. It's more than just putting the black face on, which, of course, funny, but not automatically.
That's not automatically a hit comedy.
Right, okay.
You guys got to go deeper.
Good.
There's nothing automatically funny about the story of a rich white college boy who masquerades as black in order to collect a scholarship to Harvard Law School. That's putting it mildly. But Soul Man, which opens today at Lowe's, State, and other theaters, has a breezy, unapologetic manner, and it also happens to be funny, which goes a long way towards making up for any of the underlying obtuseness or insensitivity. The director has arrived at this cheerful frat house version of Tootsie.
Yeah, hang on just a second. Could Tootsie even be made today?
I don't think. Probably not. Probably not,
because wouldn't that be a because
it was a guy, it was
a cross-dresser,
and he was pretending to be a woman to be near his children.
That you're confusing that with Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh yeah, I am.
Okay.
That's right, so, I am. This is another one you could make.
I don't think you can make that one
either.
Right.
So wait, what's Tootsie about?
Tootsie is the actor that couldn't get a job. He was a great actor, couldn't get a job. He needed to be a strong woman is what they were looking for. So, and everybody's saying he was a bad actor, and he's like, okay, I'll show you. Mm-hmm. It's a brilliant, funny movie. I mean,
probably
not automatically funny. Sure. But funny.
It's a good point. It's not automatically funny. It's important to point out.
Just a guy in a dress isn't automatically funny.
Mm. Now, I will ask this question, Glenn. Is it, as the New York Times called Soul Man in 1986, a blithe, silly, good-natured movie? And of its kind, quite an enjoyable one.
Now, hang on just a second. The governor of Virginia is in trouble. Now, if he was the one... Well, if he's either one in the picture with the Klan, he's in trouble. But he denies that that's him, either the Klan or the blackface guy.
Right. And, this is not something you want to push back on. But, I mean, what's the point of the Klan black guy photo? Like, the only thing I can think of is why this photo would exist is the odd pairing, right? Like, it's an odd couple, like two people going to a party. One's a Klan member and one's a black guy, right? Like,
yeah.
That's probably the quote-unquote joke.
Right.
Again, not that I'm defending it.
Right.
But I don't know. Is that any more or less offensive than being Michael Jackson in blackface previously? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it actually is.
It may be.
It's kind of like, you know, a Jew in, you know, prison garb going with
the
Hitler.
Nazi. Right.
You know,
yeah, that's not a good look.
It's not funny.
Not a good look.
Not funny. However, Michael Jackson, I bet that was a breezy performance. It goes back to what Megyn Kelly was saying.
Yeah.
Is this so bad? Yeah, I think the... You know, I'm not going to shun anybody, you know, from business 30 years after their life because they did that. However, when you are doing a tribute to someone like he was doing with Michael Jackson, is that so bad?
Right. In the theory being that if you're trying to compliment someone as dressing up with them, like, you know, it's the same controversy you see every Halloween now, where if you dress up as a Native American, right, you're taking their culture, and it's offensive. But if the person is saying, well, I'm not doing it to be offensive, I'm doing it because I like that culture, is that a problem? And today, absolutely it is. In 1980, was it? I don't know.
No.
In 1986, the New York Times was praising a major studio release about blackface.
You had, for the first time in American history, you had a bunch of white kids wanting to be black like Michael Jackson, and your star, who was black, changing his face to try to be white.
Mm.
Or a woman.
Or had a very rare disease.
Not sure what that was
right,
about.
Of course. The New York Times goes on to talk about his phony-looking afro in the movie. And this is what actually reminded me of this when you said Cosby. This is one of the quotes from the movie. This is from the white guy in blackface saying, these are the 80s. This is the Cosby decade. America loves black people. This is the hilarious joke. They quote in the movie they're praising. Mark's manner remains unchanged after his physical transformation. His attitudes could not help but be affected. In the end, a Tootsie-like learning experience emerges from this adventure. He finds, for example, that he can no longer stand listening to the Beach Boys.
That's your learning
experience?
This
is your learning experience. If this seems speedy and superficial course in conscience raising, and it comes relatively late in the film, it's better than nothing. And the pretty actress named Melota Hardin does what little she can with the role of a white girl who wants to sleep with Mark simply because he's black. Something about 400 years of oppression and anger, as she explains it.
This isn't a positive review. So is that still available, do you know?
What?
Is that, can you still rent that? Can you still find
that?
Because you can't get Song of the South, which is one of the most endearing stories of all time. You cannot get Song of the South.
It's not available on YouTube.
The zippity-doo-dah. No. Cannot get it. But you can get this one?
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right. Never more than 60 seconds away from the show. Right back in just a sec. Let me first tell you about realestateagentsitrust.com. Real estate, selling your home and buying a home, really, really complex, very difficult. That's why we choose real estate agents based on their success and a long track record of success. People all the time are like, yeah, well, he does this part time. I know my nephew and he can just do it. It's not that. It's not just knowing how to... navigate the documents, which is the second most important thing. Knowing how to do all of the documents and getting that done, that's very important. That takes experience. But it also, you can't use an algorithm to set the price of your home. You have to know the market, what the houses are worth all around, what's selling, what's not selling, why it's not selling. You have all of these things that only someone with experience can do. So we found the people who have your values, know your area, and are the best and have a long track record of being the best in your area. So when you go to realestateagentsitrust.com and you say, I'm looking to buy or I'm looking to sell, you're going to get contacted by the person who is the best in your area. Okay, so just try, instead of looking at the bus sign and going, well, I don't know, his face is everywhere. I see him in magazines, local magazines, you know, his face is there, or her face is there. Get the best. Know the people are just like you with the same values and are going to sell your home fast and for the most amount of money. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com. We pause 10 seconds and back into the show. Bum. Just want you to know the National Weather Service has issued an unofficial small dog warning.
But
As
in it's raining?
Nope.
Cats and...
Nope.
No.
Due to strong winds in northern Ohio and northwest Pennsylvania, they have decided to issue the small dog warning that if you have a dog and you're taking him outside and he's small, make sure you put a leash on him because he may blow away.
Really?
This is the National Weather Service, Pennsylvania.
Is that
now
real?
Through Wednesday. Yeah. National Weather Service. This came from Cleveland. Wind gusts 45 to 50 miles an hour. Few trees may be blown. Scattered power outages is possible. And hold on to your pooch. A small dog warning wind advisory for northern Ohio and northwest Pennsylvania has been initiated.
I'm glad we're getting this safe space created for us. We know now the truth that we cannot bring our little dogs outside because they might blow away if we don't have a leash. But then it does turn into a pretty cool kite.
How did we survive?
I don't know. How did we make it through?
How did we make it through all these years without people being told your dog might blow away? Now, I've had little dogs before. I've had dachshunds. It's never even occurred to me that my little dog. Now, dachshunds are low to the ground, so maybe it's different for them.
Right. They're like the sports car of little dogs.
I would think like an Afghan would be much more inclined to blow away because it's so skinny and thin, and it's like a sail. You know, it's like, it would be like a kite. Put the leash at the center of the Afghan, go for a walk, and it'll just blow up, and it'll just start like a kite. That one. But dogs would just roll down.
Yeah.
Would just roll down the street like a tumbleweed.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you have the science correct.
What do we have, tumbleweeds here? No, they're just little Scottish terriers.
How small does a dog have to be? Because a 40 or 50 mile an hour... that has to be like one of those really mini, like legitimate in Paris Hilton's purse.
Can I tell
you
something? I've never seen a dog blow down the street. I'm not like, a weather chaser, but I've lived 55 years.
It's really windy here all the time.
It's really windy. Yeah. I've never seen, I've never seen like a tumbleweed blown down the street going, yipe, 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 yipe. I've never seen that before.
I never have either. But it's happened so many times. There's an actual small dog warning.
Yeah.
Which makes you think, that's got to be a tough experience.
Do you get an EBS alert?
Beep, beep, beep. It would have to be little barks, wouldn't it? Like little yips.
Yipe, yipe, yipe.
I don't know. That's interesting. Because I think you'd have to have a really small dog. Maybe the idea is like you're walking him on the street, and the wind blows and it blows him into the street and the kid gets hit by cars. It can't be really taking off like a kite, right? I mean, that's tornado territory, isn't it?
No, because really small dogs are about the size of a cat.
Yeah, but a cat is not going to be lifted up and thrown.
Cat's not stupid enough. Cats aren't dumb enough.
I don't know about if they know this, but, dogs are pets, yes. However, there's lots of other animals that are smaller than dogs all over the place.
For instance,
I've never seen any of them being blown up in the air either.
We found on Friday a cat-sized rat, not to be confused with a cat-sized dog.
Cat-sized rat.
Cat-sized rat.
That's terrifying.
Back here, it went into one of the rat traps we found. We were like, ooh. Wow, that's a big one.
Building?
Yeah.
Good God,
might
why would
still
you tell
be
us
there? Because I'm not picking it up. It might still be there. You want to go look at it?
I thought you were going to say it like your ranch or something.
No.
You mean in here?
Yeah. It was in the back cages. We were going through the property cages, and it was like, and somebody was with me. One guy said, good Lord, look at that. That's a big rat. And we looked down, and then, Tim, he looked at it and he said, oh, I'll get that. And he reached down with his hands and none of us said anything. He was like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to. So it still might be there. But anyway, you don't see rats blowing down the street.
Right. If every time it got windy, like leaves, they blow around the circles. If you saw animals in like a typhoon.
And I lived in Baltimore, man. There should have been rats like leaves blowing down the street all the time. This is a hoax.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right. I need a X chair shipped to DC because I'm doing the show. Are you coming with me?
Don't know. I have some previous commitments discuss with you.
Gosh.
Well, I didn't know.
The worst. I didn't know either. Things happen.
I know. And I guess if there's a certain level of need.
Anyway, so I'm going to do my show from D.C. and Stu won't be there. Mm-hmm. And last time I was there, I couldn't walk for 2 days because the worst chair ever.
Can you ship the X chair up there?
I'm going to ship one up there. Yeah. I'm not sitting in that. Anyway, get an X chair. They are the most comfortable chair, especially if you're like me, you have a bad back. They are great chairs. X chair. Go to xchairbeck.com. xchairbeck.com. Find out all about them. You're going to love this. 30-day money-back guarantee.
There's nothing like watching Glenn Beck do a show by himself in the District of Columbia.
I could blow down the street like a tumbleweed.
BlazeTV.com/Beck. Subscribe now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. If you are sick and tired of hearing all of the bad stuff about America and, you know, just how bad we are and blah, 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 blah. Look, America's story is just like your story. Are you a good person or a bad person? Now, hopefully you say a good person. Now, actually, most likely you will say a good person. Hopefully you will say a good person that is getting better or a person that was bad or I'm a little of both, but I'm working. We're all both. It's a wrestle match every single day. Which one are you going to be? You're going to be the bad you or the good you? And that's what America is. We're both bad and good. It's what we choose to make out of ourselves every single day. And we choose that collectively. And right now, we're just choosing to be victims and crybabies. And we've forgotten who we really are. We've totally forgotten who we are. And we just expect everything to be handed to us now. And we don't want to have any problems whatsoever. And society will help you with that. Don't worry about it. Society will help. It's going to be fine. Just relax. Blame it on somebody. If you're tired of all of that, come to the Mercury Pop-Up Museum here at the Mercury Studios. I'm trying to see when this is. This is summer of this year, and it opens on June 28th, and it runs through July 7th. So through the 4th of July weekend, June 28th through July 7th, and it's called 12 Score and 3 Years Ago from 4 Score and 7 years ago from the Gettysburg Address, 12 Score and 3 years Ago, the unfinished promise of unity. Because that's really what the Civil War was about. We're gonna unify. All men are created equal. It's so unfinished. We're going backwards. So we take a look at that, and we take a look at the people who took that freedom and did something amazing with their freedom. So it's quite an experience that will cover the good and the bad. But really, hopefully, I think you're going to leave this going, I had no idea. I had no idea of what so many people did with their freedom that had been, otherwise in this society would have just been called victims. And they would have spent their whole life on TV talking about what victims they were. Instead, they decided to pull themselves up and start doing something with their life and with their freedom. And they changed the world. It's great. It's great. All right. There's a couple of other things that I want to talk about. If you missed the podcast this weekend, every Saturday we do a podcast. And they're usually about 90 minutes, anywhere from an hour to 90 minutes. And they are just riveting, I think. We had Gad Saad on. Now, Gad is a guy who is a university professor from Canada. He is a guy who just loves the truth. and is very concerned about what's happening to the truth in universities and all throughout society. And we talked about everything.
One of the first people Jordan Peterson reached out to when he was having his troubles initially.
Yeah, because he's like the godfather of telling truth, you know, and always getting in trouble for it. And he doesn't care. And I love this guy. You're going to fall in love with him when you listen to him. But check it out. Here he is talking about, you know, we say it's Trump derangement syndrome. He calls it something else. Listen to this.
So Munchausen syndrome is where someone feigns a medical condition so that they can garner empathy and sympathy. Oh, poor me. Look at me. I'm sick. Munchausen syndrome by proxy is where you take someone who's under your care, your biological child, your pet, your elderly parent, and you harm them so that you can get and garner the sympathy and empathy by proxy because they're damaged, right? So this is called Munchausen syndrome by proxy. And by the way, the ones who suffer most from that are usually women who harm their biological children to garner the sympathy. Mm-hmm. So I had written a paper talking about the psychiatric disorder. And then when I started seeing the faux victimhood, the screaming, the fake hysteria associated with Trump, that's when I coined the term collective Munchausen, because it was a way for people to seek attention in grotesque ways and truly what seemed to me in false sounding ways, right? I mean, I would see on my Facebook page people sort of testifying to their looming victimhood. I am a woman of color. I attend the University of Maine. Will it still be safe for me to go to college now that Trump? Well, what do you think? There's going to be roadblocks and the Trump storm patrols are going to be ushering you to gang rape centers? I mean, what can justify this level of idiotic hysteria? And so that's why I called it collective Munchausen, because it truly was a confabulation of faux hysteria. What upsets me is that it's one thing for this idiot on my Facebook page to write this stuff. It's another thing when many of my supposedly sophisticated intellectual friends were succumbing to the same hysteria. Mm-hmm. That's what upsets me. So I won't mention any names, but one of my good friends, whom you probably know, is one of the type who will say things like, you know, there's going to be food shortages now that Trump, there's going to be a nuclear holocaust. He's the worst thing since Hitler. And this is a guy who otherwise you would have thought is a terribly sophisticated and dispassionate thinker. And so it's a real mystery to me why they are.
What causes that? What caused that in him?
Yeah.
I think I know who you're talking about. Very smart guy. Very reasoned.
Very. I mean, he's sort of the model of the very dispassionate, right? So I pitched an idea on the Rubin Report as to why I think this is happening. I think that the intellectual class views Trump as what I call an aesthetic injury, right? This beautiful place that you're in, I mean, it's gorgeous aesthetics, right? You have a nice aesthetic sense. Well, academics and intellectual types have a sense of the types of aesthetics that they seek in their leader. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama fit that. He's tall. He's got a beautiful smile. He speaks with a certain cadence of a Southern Baptist preacher. He seems noble and majestic. So it doesn't matter what he says, that most of it is complete but he, my God, he sounds noble and intellectual. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is an ogre. He speaks in an ugly way. He's grotesque. He's a brawler. He's a New Yorker. He's swearing. He's grabbed this, right? So on every possible aesthetic metric, he offends my sense of aesthetics. And so I think they are disgusted by him. They are repulsed. It's visceral.
He is a remarkable man. His name is Gad Saad. He's just remarkable the way he thinks. We cover all kinds of topics, really almost everything. At one point, we started talking about freedom of speech. Listen to this.
So Munchausen syndrome is where someone feigns a medical condition. Free speech absolutist.
Yeah.
I believe that anything short of a direct exhortation to violence, libel and defamation, everything goes. And the way that I demonstrate my commitment to those principles is I pick the most grotesque possible instance, which is Holocaust deniers to a Jewish person, right? What could be more offensive than taking the historical event that is probably the most documented in history, where people were systematically, you know, exterminated, and allow someone to say, no, it never happened. But if you are a free speech absolutist in a free society, then you have to tolerate the most grotesque. So I tell people, I am a Jewish person and I support the right of Holocaust deniers to reject that the Holocaust ever happened. So I walk the walk, talk the talk. So your hurt feelings, frankly, I don't give a blank about. Life is anti-fragile, to use the term of Nassim Taleb, right? You grow by being... That which doesn't kill you makes you stronger, correct? Therefore,
postmodernists say that which doesn't, that way, how is this the turn of the phrase on this?
We could have cut this part out for the love of me.
I've never heard the postmodern.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there's they've twisted okay. it and turned it, yeah. turned it around upside
so,
down.
So it really, I find it very frustrating because it is a perfect way to stifle discussions, right? Mm-hmm. Don't criticize Islam because that's my religious faith. That hurts me. What do you mean? In a free society, you can go on Twitter and say what a bunch of crock Judaism is. If I'm strong in my beliefs, I shouldn't worry about what Glenn Beck thinks.
It's amazing how we have turned that upside down. We've really turned that upside down. I mean, I really think that's why people like Ocasio-Cortez are just not the sharpest knife in the drawer. For instance, putting out the Green New Deal, I think that's a pretty stupid rookie fourth grader kind of move. Why didn't she fear? Because she's living at large. No matter what she says, no matter what she does, no one's going to say anything to her because it's a success right now. You're not doing anybody any good if you keep the truth from them. They don't have to defend it. I, you know, when you believe in something and you know it to be true, you just know it to be true, that's when you should do a little more listening to the other side, just because it'll sharpen the edge. You'll learn more about what people are saying, the why it's not true, and you'll be able to defend it. But if you don't have anybody sharpening that steel, I mean, you can't last. You can't last.
It's like if you're a band that like has all these hit songs and then you want to do like a rock opera and then they push back against you and they're like, hey, maybe the rock opera is not the way to go. Some bands did the rock opera. Some bands went for it. And then, you know, they were no longer bands like 6 months after that.
That's weird that you say that because I was thinking Queen.
Yeah, Queen is
Queen.
Yeah, a lot of people try to do Queen after Queen. I don't know if you know that. You don't remember any of their names because they tried it.
Right, but Queen did it for the same thing. They didn't want to just do what they were good at. They wanted to push themselves so they would get stronger.
They went out of their comfort zone a little
bit. Yes. And that's something, unfortunately, we don't do because there's no such thing as a comfort zone anymore. It's a safe zone. And everything that makes you uncomfortable is out of the safe zone. So nobody says, hey, you should make yourself uncomfortable from time to time. Reach out. Push the edges of that. Why? Into the unsafe zone? No. Bad things happen there. It's dark.
Why are you saying it's dark, racist?
All right, let me tell you about FilterBuy. Just read this. You ready for this, Stu? This, I think this comes from Washington Press. I can't find the marking on this readout. Listen to this. Just when you thought it was staying inside was one way to avoid pollution from surrounding cities and heavy road traffic, new study showing that... the air inside of our homes is prone to indoor air quality levels on par with a polluted major city. They say everyday activities like cooking and cleaning may be to blame. The authors believe chemicals found in common household substances are even seeping outdoors, creating more air pollution than cars and trucks do. Oh, shut up. Shut up.
If only there was a way to filter your air.
Right?
Condition it in some way.
Exactly. What are you thinking?
An air filter, something that did both of the things at the same time, if that was possible.
Well, they have it. It's called a filter. You put that into your system. The problem is we don't change them because we forget, and or we intentionally forget, or we keep saying, I'll do that next time. I think I just did that.
Mm-hmm.
No, time flies when you're having fun. Unfortunately, time flies even when you're not having fun in the long term. Filter by is the easiest thing you can do to make sure that your air is clean. Check it regularly. Prevent heating units from working harder than they should be. And it keeps your air super, super clean. So stop breathing in all that crap that you shouldn't be breathing in. Here's what you need to do. I want you to go to filterby.com. Filterby.com. Give yourself an edge. Save time. Save money. And make sure you're all breathing in clean air. And you're doing a favor to the HVAC system so you don't have to have the repairman come out. Save time and money with filterby.com. Order your filters online, put up for, like, I think it's auto renew or something, and it will send you 6 months, every 8 months. I really don't even know. They just arrive.
When they show up, put them in.
That's what you're supposed to do. Filterby.com. It's filterby.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. A couple of things. First of all, do you think Nancy Pelosi may have CTE? Is there a possibility?
She does seem like every question she's asked is asked as if she is waking up from a 12-hour sleep.
I want to play a little Nancy Pelosi on Valentine's Day last week. Listen.
So thank all of you. Happy Valentine's Day. We saluted the victory for the American people earlier with the chocolate. So again, happy Thanksgiving.
No, it's happy Valentine's Day.
Which you correctly stated just a few seconds
Correct.
Earlier.
And I mean, I do have the chocolate turkeys on my plate for Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day. But we also on those two meals, we also serve heart. So I can see the confusion. You know, I think they're seriously, something is not right with Nancy Pelosi.
She really does feel like, you know how you feel when you get up, you're sound asleep and like your alarm goes off in your
yes.
house and you just wake up and you have no, you don't
like,
even
what,
know
what is
that
sound?
Are.
I don't, the phone ringing. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, what is going on?
That is how yeah. she seems in every, like she's unaware. Everything's taking her by surprise. She doesn't seem to know the
well,
basics.
Well, the surprise is probably just the Botox and the okay. and the eye surgery, because I think when she sits down, her eyes open wider.
Oh, okay.
Her skin's a little
too tight. Well, because the skin is tied to the spine.
Yes.
So when she bends her back, the eyes do open just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She's an interesting individual to lead a party. I mean, I don't know if that's ideal. I don't know. If you could map it out, you probably pick somebody
else. These guys just stay in too long.
Yeah.
They stay in too long.
And for her, one day was too long.
Yes, my point exactly. Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving, Stu.
Happy Thanksgiving
Happy
to you,
Thanksgiving
too.
And Columbus Day.
And Flag Day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not Flag Day yet.
It's not?
How do you, no.
Oh, it's only Groundhog Day, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. tomorrow's Flag Day,
tomorrow's
I'm pretty
Flag
sure.
Day.
Or Christmas.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.